Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the variety comedy show podcast. My name is Peter.
And I'm Andreas.
And today we want to welcome a very special guest onto the podcast, my beautiful fiance, Maddie. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
Maddie has put up with me for a couple of years now and continues to do so, even though I've told many stories on this podcast about her, but now she finally can clap back.
That's true. You actually have unknowingly done this to yourself where now anything's fair game.
I know.
This is true.
We are your three divine, darling, and dandy hosts. However, we have no reason to be giving anyone advice or telling the stories that we do that hold any kind of moral or ethical lesson. But we're going to do that anyway. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I just realized something kind of funny, which is that you put... So in the intro, you put three adjectives.
Yeah.
Which there's three of us. But now I want to go back and listen to all the episodes and try to figure out which adjective I am.
Oh, yeah. No, Andreas, I can't believe it's taken you this long to realize that I've specifically picked adjectives for each of us.
Oh my god. I thought we were just both of them.
No.
Today, obviously, Andreas is darling, so.
Yeah, of course. I also think when we had Thomas on the show, I only used two anyway.
No.
Well, so he doesn't get an adjective. he's indescribable. Andreas, do you remember... Geez, it was last episode. We talked about waiting in lines.
Yeah, In-N-Out.
And how you told this really fun, you were in a In-N-Out line for, what, half an hour?
Yeah.
So at about 8 o'clock last night, now 7:30, whatever. Maddie and I were like, all right, we haven't eaten since breakfast this morning. We should probably get some food. So we're like, you know what sounds great? Taco Bell. So we get to the Taco Bell. There's a really long line, and the Taco Bell in our town is notoriously slow.
Okay.
But this was a special occasion. So we pull up to the Taco Bell, and we're like, all right, place your bets. How long is it going to take until we get our food? We got there at 7:30. I said, we're going to be out on the street. We're going to be out of the Taco Bell parking lot at 7:52.
I think my bet was like 8:05, 8:10.
Yeah.
Still... like half an hour,
yeah,
at least.
Long, right? So half an hour passes and we have not even entered the designated drive-through line. We are still in the parking lot, like many cars deep, and we're like, oh no, what have we done? So another maybe 15 minutes pass, we're like, we're not getting out of here anytime soon. So we decided to watch an episode of Schitt's Creek while we were waiting to order Taco Bell. We haven't even ordered yet.
Yeah, it was bad.
So we finish an episode. We've maybe moved about 2.5 car lengths from our original position at the beginning of the 25-minute episode. And we're like, well, we're not at the order screen yet. Let's start another.
Two episodes deep.
Oh my god.
We finish... another full episode, and then we get to the order screen.
Yeah.
And then we order. We only ordered like 4 or 5 things. Not a long time to make
right,
two
especially
burritos.
Especially because Taco Bell has, like, everything on the Taco Bell menu is the same 5 ingredients. It's not.
Right.
Precisely.
It's not like you ordering different things changes the composition of the things.
Exactly.
I mean, they have tools specifically engineered to make their job quicker and easier. Like,
yeah.
And they still take like 10 full minutes for each order at least.
Yeah. So when we were, after we ordered, we were 3 cars away from the window and another 20 minutes,
oh my
30
God.
Minutes pass. So from start to finish, when we got in line to when we got our food, was 1.5 hours. I have never felt more like, it felt like I blacked out because I was like, man, does time actually pass anymore? Like, I feel like my entire existence has like been in this Taco Bell line.
And if you're listening to this right now, please never repeat this story ever again. I'm freaking ashamed of myself. I never will wait that long ever again.
Yeah, but Maddie and I kind of boiled it down to the fact that we're both very stubborn people.
You could just
neither of us wanted to say fuck it, we give up, because we really wanted Taco Bell.
Oh my god.
We were far too determined.
And let me tell you, it was not worth it.
No.
I wouldn't imagine so. You know what's funny? Taylor and I had the idea to drive to In-N-Out, drove the hour to In-N-Out, waited in the In-N-Out line for half an hour, an 8-hour In-N-Out in the time that it took you to get Taco Bell in your hometown.
See, that's what I was saying. It's like, we could have driven to visit my brother an hour and a half away, got dinner with him at the same time it took us to get Taco Bell.
Very bad.
What was the holdup?
I think they probably only had like 3 people.
Yeah, it looked
working.
Like
there
were only 3.
And probably one of them was brand new. Like they had hiring signs
had
all
like
over.
3 broken legs and like just a horrible ability to like does not understand what shape tacos are kind of situation.
Yeah, that Taco Bell has always been notoriously slow, but especially so that now that like all of the food places are just horribly understaffed right now.
Yeah.
And that might just be everywhere from what I've heard, but
I feel like you could have gone to the bank, pulled out a bank loan, franchised your own Taco Bell within about an hour and a half.
Yeah, honestly, I should have.
Well, our town is getting another Taco Bell. So.
Yeah, we're making power moves. There's going to be the slow Taco Bell, and then there's going to be the new one.
That's probably still slow, but less.
But it's newer, so maybe they'll have like a better system, or at least an escape route. Because the problem with this Taco Bell is that once you get into the line, you're trapped. There is literally no way out once you get in, and it's awful.
What you just leave your car there and just, like, walk away?
You could have. So this kid, this car full of teenagers in front of us, had a little sunroof, and they were playing basketball with a water bottle in their car, like stepping outside the car and trying to throw the water bottle into the car through the sunroof in the drive-thru.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we should also mention that when we got there, it was still full daylight. When we left, it was dusk. It was practically like full dark nighttime. It was awesome.
That's crazy. Definitely. It's also crazy to me that there's only one Taco Bell in your hometown.
Yeah.
So there used to be 2, but that all happened.
There used to be 2, but the other one, there's still people waiting in line from 10 years ago, and they all just died and turned to dust.
It exploded in a terrible bean accident.
If you drive by that street at 2 a.m., you'll still hear the stomachs of hungry people growling.
Phantoms of hungry Taco Bell goers.
Oh man,
you know what's funny about like talking about restaurants and stuff, Peter, you can probably attest to this, but in the city I live in, I feel like every version of every normal restaurant everywhere else is a miniature version of that restaurant. So I don't know, you go to Old Chicago, right? Anywhere else,
sure.
Just like a normal chain restaurant, you go to Old Chicago here and it's a tiny Old Chicago.
Okay, I see what you're saying with the Old Chicago, because I've been in some pretty big Old Chicagos. However, the Red Robin is normal sized.
That's true.
The CB Potts is tiny.
What is CB Potts?
It's also closed.
Did it close? Like, for good?
Oh, I'm glad we're having this hyper-locational conversation so that people can follow along.
Yeah, people know exactly what we're talking about.
No, I just feel like there's this like culture where people like tiny restaurants, at least in the Old Town part of here.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Absolutely. Well, it's because they're old buildings. Like, people were smaller 100 years ago.
Yeah, but it's not even because they're old buildings. Like, if they build a new building, it'll still be a tiny version of the restaurant downtown. I also feel like if businesses like that, that are tiny, maybe not like the greatest location or feel, but they're really popular. I feel like if those restaurants that are really popular try to move to a more ideal, nicer location, they always do poorly.
Yeah, I think it's because, well, especially with stuff like that, usually they are there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they, well, it, people like get to know it as it's just that one place in that house. Like, but when it moves or they expand into a different location, people are like, oh, but it's not the same. Because it has that level of nostalgia.
That could be. That could be true.
I don't know.
Well, talking about food, Peter.
Yeah, what's
and
up?
And Maddie, do you want to move on to our armchair expert segment?
I would love to. This is the first armchair experts we've actually done in weeks. Because we just got distracted with other things.
All right.
We can only fit so much in an episode.
So, Peter, here's what I want to know. And I'm asking you specifically because I feel like you are more of an expert on this topic than the two of us. Mm-hmm. What are things that make you good at cooking?
Okay. So there's a lot of knowledge in cooking that people either overlook or don't appreciate. But I feel like you could really tell the difference between a good cook and a bad cook is their ability to use the tools necessary for the job.
Okay.
So, like, not to completely roast Thomas, but watching him use a knife is one of the most frightening things on planet Earth. I swear to God, he will almost cut his finger off because it's a little careless. But, like, there are, like, certain ways to hold a knife properly. Mm-hmm. And there's certain ways to, like, hold the thing you're cutting properly. So there's no possible way you can cut your fingers off. Those are really small things you can pay attention to. But it's also, I think, one of the huge things is like the difference between a good cook and a great cook is their ability to measure. So like, but visually. So not using like measuring cups or anything, but they can just grab an amount of something and be like, yep, that's like a tablespoon. Yep, that's half a cup. And just throw it in.
Gotcha.
Unless you're baking, you have to be so precise with baking because it's science more than it is cooking.
Do you guys feel like, in your opinions, there are underrated ingredients that make every meal better?
I have a very simple answer to this one.
I know what your answer is going to be.
What is it?
Garlic.
It's garlic. I love garlic, and it should be in everything.
And I don't think that it's overrated.
Yeah, I don't think
underrated.
It's underrated necessarily.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. Underrated.
A lot of people love garlic.
But I just don't think a lot of people put as much in as you do. That's for sure.
Yeah, I go pretty heavy-handed. What's an ingredient that you would have in every or almost everything you make, Maddie? Or like want to?
I don't know. It really depends for me. I love having rosemary, especially in like chicken and like, I don't know why rice sounds so good with rosemary to me. I don't know why, but it just adds a little bit.
Gives some depth to that flavor.
Maybe it's just my Hispanic heritage, but I feel like I add chili powder and chili flakes to every meal.
Mm. No, like, I do that too. I think a super like, more on the subtle side, as far as underrated ingredients that I use a lot of, is paprika.
Oh yeah. That's good.
Because it's not a particularly strong spice, like flavor wise, but it gives that really awesome, like earthy smokiness, and it's great on meat. I always use it on my chicken. Because it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I would agree with like chicken.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Because you don't need a lot of it either.
That's true.
I don't know.
It's paprika
a subtly
with my
strong
eggs.
Spice. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That reminds me of the hollandaise sauce, right? Because don't they put paprika in hollandaise sauce?
I don't think so.
Oh. Okay. Maybe
but
I'm
I
wrong.
Do love hollandaise.
Maybe
sauce.
Maybe you're thinking of deviled eggs.
Oh, that's totally what I'm thinking is. Of. Yeah. You're right.
Love deviled eggs.
Me too.
Eggs are the devil. That's what I think.
Yeah, Maddie actually hates everything about eggs.
They're not deviled eggs. They're devil eggs.
Yes.
All eggs are devil eggs to her.
What's the best meal that each of you can cook?
Can we do it for each other?
Oh, that's a good.
You
that's
oh,
a
meal I know what you'll say, but yeah.
Maddie makes the most bomb enchiladas. They are so freaking good. But they're like, they're not even like particularly complicated.
But no, I think, they're not even close to like authentic right. at all. Like they're the most white bread, you know.
But I think that's what makes them good is because you can slap them together in like 15 minutes, let them bake for however long, and then you're good. They're just so good, especially when they're fresh out of the oven. Like, oh my God, love it.
Okay, so when we first started dating, I was super shocked. Well, first of all, that I had a boyfriend that could cook, so that was new for me. But your ability to make like sauces was Ooh. Really weirdly like good.
Okay.
Yes.
So like cheese sauces, or even we had spaghetti night one time and you put wine in something and I was totally impressed, which is not like, this is bare minimum here, I'm sure, but
I make a mean bechamel, baby.
The thing you're good at is knowing how to incorporate sauces and stuff into meals without it being way too much.
Yeah, well, and it's weird because I don't attribute that to any like experience I've had working in restaurants and kitchens, because I was never the sauce guy, and or we never had sauces to make, because I worked at a grilled cheese restaurant for like a year, but we didn't. I just made soup, but that's not a sauce. So like I don't know where I gained that ability necessarily. I think just by making them at home, just for kind of shits and giggles. But yeah, I attribute my ability to make really good like tomato sauce, like for spaghetti or lasagna and shit, to my mom, because she makes the best lasagna ever. And yeah, she taught me how to make tomato sauce pretty well. And then from everything else, I've been just kind of self-taught or lots of binging with Babish.
Can I flame you real quick though?
Yeah.
Please.
Please.
So I came over to his house one time to surprise him, and he was obviously at work, and he had left something in the crock pot. Oh, I'm like, okay, this smells good, but what the fuck is this? I look in there, and it's like, you know how you can get frozen like peas and carrots and like corn mixed together? I'm like, okay, that's what I'm seeing. And then I see like rogue pepperonis in there and like tomato sauce and like kielbasa sausage. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That was still it the looked pepperoni.
Disgusting. I was so like appalled at what I saw. I was like,
yeah,
who puts pepperoni in a crock pot?
I do.
like sliced pepperoni.
Let me defend myself a little bit.
It's so gross.
I was trying to look up like crock pot chicken recipes because I was feeling really lazy and I just wanted to be ready when I got home from work. And I saw this one that was like,
I'm sorry, you're fine. So gross.
That was like pizza chicken breasts. But wait, it also had like, no, but it's just like mozzarella, pepperoni, and chicken.
Okay.
With some veggies, but like onion, garlic, and I think there's some potatoes. It was a weird crock pot recipe, but I was like, that sounds good enough. But I didn't have all the veggies. I just had some frozen veggies, the frozen California style veggies. So it was cauliflower, zucchini, I forget, carrots, something else. So I was like, veggies are veggies. I should probably just eat veggies because I need that in my diet anyway. So I just threw those in there with a jar of pasta sauce, a chicken breast, and there was some pepperoni in my fridge. So I was like, yeah, that'll work too. It didn't taste terrible, but it wasn't good.
Oh my God. So all of this stuff was just mixed into this pasta sauce?
Yeah, pretty much. Then I topped it with cheese. It wasn't great. I do have to confess to something else that I know Thomas is going to bring up to me if I don't bring it up now.
Oh, no.
When he listens to this episode. There, I was hungry one day. This is when I was still living with him.
I know.
Andreas, you know the story. So I was trying to be pseudo healthy, as I try to be. And obviously, it always goes wrong when I try to. So I made myself a salad. Patty's gonna choke on her drink. So I made myself a salad, and then I was like, you know, I'm not like, I'm a little hungrier for like, not just a salad's gonna be enough to to satiate my appetite. So we had some chicken nuggets in the freezer, pop those in the oven. And because I am lazy, I didn't want to put them on a separate plate. So I just threw them on top of my salad, covered the whole thing in ranch dressing because I like dipping my chicken nuggets in ranch. And I called it chicken nugget salad because it was a salad with chicken nuggets for croutons.
Okay, stop, you insane person. If you're putting the chicken nuggets on the salad, they're not the croutons. It's just chicken on your salad.
Yeah, but they're like really heavily breaded, so they kind of look like croutons.
Okay.
So there is a restaurant here that does like a chicken strip salad where it's, you know, chicken, actual chicken tenders, right. Not like whatever the fuck you had, like chicken dino nuggets or whatever, you know,
chopped up and put up.
Not even chopped up, I don't think it was. I think you literally put
just whole chicken nuggets.
Yeah. And that might be the worst part. Like, you didn't even cut them up.
No. Like, once again, too lazy for that.
Oh my gosh. Peter, you should be on one of those shows where they give you a bunch of ingredients and you have to improvise a meal with what they give you. You'd be good at that.
I feel like I could be, right?
There's a possibility that
here's
you could.
Here's the thing. I think I'm a really good cook when I'm trying.
Yeah.
But in those moments, I was not trying. That was just, I'm hungry. Let me throw shit on a plate and eat it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think everybody has those moments. It's like depression meals.
Exactly.
You've heard of people having depression meals.
100%.
That's one thing, though, Peter. I feel like you're really good at making good food with what you have. So, like, example, we went camping. This is still crazy to me. I still tell people this because we went camping and we like get out our little camp stove, a tiny Coleman camp stove with propane. And to me, at least in all of my experiences, when you go camping, you make like hot dogs and burgers or sandwiches or whatever. We whip out the camp stove and Peter was responsible for dinner the first night. And he's like, I'm making beef stroganoff.
Yeah. Like,
what? How? How do you not need a full kitchen to make beef stroganoff? He's like, nope, I'm making stroganoff. That
you just
beef
need
stroganoff,
a cast iron pan.
That beef stroganoff on that tiny Coleman camp stove in the middle of the wilderness is probably the best stroganoff I've ever eaten in my entire life. Then the next day for breakfast, we wake up, same camp stove, same setup. He's making steak and eggs for breakfast. Mm-hmm. It, like, I had a better dining experience in the wild than I ever have at home.
Yeah, I learned from one of my buddies that was the chef at the restaurant I worked at for a long time that as long as you have salt, pepper, and a dream, you can make damn near anything taste good. So it's like, for that cast iron, you just need a pretty deep cast iron skillet for the stroganoff. You just need steak, a bag of egg noodles, some beef stock, and a can of cream of mushroom soup. You basically boil the noodles in the beef stock, throw in the steak to cook with it, and then just mix in the cream of mushroom soup at the very end. Let that simmer for 5 to 10 minutes, and you got yourself some delicious steak stroganoff. And since we had the leftover steak, because I didn't use all of it, that's why I decided to make steak and eggs the next morning.
It's magical. It's magical what you can do with ingredients. I wish I was like that.
What's the best meal you can make, Andreas? What's your like go-to, like, I want to impress somebody with my cooking skill meal?
Oh, good question. I feel like like if it's for an event, I'm really good at putting together okay, so my event meal, go-to meal would be probably prime rib with au jus, and then probably either scalloped potatoes or mashed potatoes and with homemade gravy from the prime rib drippings, and then some sort of roasted vegetable. Or one of my favorite things to do is just to throw a bunch of crap on a roasting tray and put it in the oven, like mushrooms, asparagus, zucchini, peppers, like all the stuff, and just like roast it up. And that's kind of my go-to if I'm going to make like pork chops or something, for example. I'll just put the pork chops and all the veggies and everything on the tray and throw it in the thing, and it's perfect. But yeah, something like that.
All right, follow-up question, because you got me thinking with like my event food. Let's say you're invited to a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
What do you make and bring to the Super Bowl party?
Like it's a potluck sort of thing. You're responsible for one thing.
Yep. Mine is jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon.
Oh, that sounds so good.
I make a mean jalapeno popper.
So recently we as in Peter and I have kind of come up with and stolen a recipe for spinach artichoke dip.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it is so fire. It is so good. That or we also just stumbled upon like how to make dumplings, like pot sticker type things. So that seems kind of appetizer-y.
Oh yeah. They're really
good. But not necessarily like Super Bowl. I'm just trying to think of like little.
Those would be killer at a Super Bowl party. They'd be gone before you even get to them.
When I was younger, my mom taught me how to do like make up pico and then simmer it down with some green chilies and then make green chili sauce. Ooh. With the pico and the green chilies and you could put pork or whatever and do gravy, which I don't make very often. I haven't made it in a long time, but
my mouth is watering already.
That sounds so good.
We used to have this friend, Peter, I'm sure you'll know who I'm talking about, but every time we would have a friend get together, we would do like everybody bring something for the get together, and this same friend would offer to bring bags of chips every single time. Like this person's whole thing was, I'll bring chips.
But here's the problem. The problem with that is that if you are the designated chip bringer to a party, you have to minimum, the bare minimum is to bring two bags of chips.
Yeah.
A neutral chip and a flavor chip.
Agreed.
That is if you're putting in zero effort, you have to do that. This particular friend would only bring like not even a family size bag of Lay's.
Oh my God.
And call it good.
Or like, what's that really terrible popcorn that smells like stinky feet and it comes in the black bag?
Oh, the smart pop or whatever.
Yeah, that
stuff
sucks.
White cheddar stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is sticky. It's oddly sticky and weird.
Yeah. I hate eating
it. It's good. I love it.
It's uncomfortable to hold.
To hold.
It's like the same feeling that you get when you touch a random 2-year-old's hand and you're like, oh, what did I just touch?
wait a second. How often are you interacting with random 2-year-olds?
Okay, I don't know. So I would actually be able to say this in terms of like old people where you touch their hands and there's something on there and they're like clammy and sweaty and you're like, hold up, buddy. What have you just been doing? Or where has your hand just been? And they can't even tell you because they don't know. So that's all I have to offer.
I feel like
that's
when I'm old, hand washing's going out the window. Like, I'm going to die soon anyway.
I think a lot of people have that philosophy. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
That's nasty.
Just kidding. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, folks.
Yeah, please, for the love of God, wash your hands. All right. Well, since we're talking about food and such, what, Andreas, is the best coffee you have ever had?
Ooh, interesting question. So I guess I'll do the go-to and then I'll do the best coffee.
Okay.
Because my go-to...
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I have two go-tos, actually. Like, if I'm going to any coffee shop, these are drinks that any coffee shop can make where you know it's not going to be a risk getting it. So my go-tos are like, number one, if I want something sweet, I'll get a dirty chai latte. So a chai latte with 2 shots of espresso. The latte part's very important. If you get a dirty chai, you'll get watery espresso chai.
Yep.
And then, or if I'm feeling like in a more coffee mood, I'll get a very simple shot in the dark or a power coffee, which is a shot in a drip coffee.
Nice.
What's your go-to first?
My go-to is an Irish cream latte.
Oh, that's so good. A lot of places don't have Irish cream.
It's really sad, but there's a place like just up the street from me that does, and they do it so well. But the best cup of coffee I've ever had, I don't even know what it was, but it was at, so I had a buddy of mine, he invited a bunch of friends out for a dinner at this really like tiny but like really nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid for the whole damn thing. I don't know what, I forget what the occasion was even. I think it was just kind of a get together and he was like, I'll pay it for it. Like, I don't even want to know what the bill was because it must have been huge. But I had this fantastic pizza for dinner and then I had key lime pie for dessert. It was so good. But then I had a cup of coffee with the dessert. And I don't know what it was, but they did like this pour over, like single origin, like hyper specific coffee from, I think it was Ethiopia or something. It was the most delicious coffee I've ever had. I really wish I knew what it was so I could track it down. But I've also had Hawaiian coffee before.
Oh, interesting.
That hits so different and it's so delicious. Just just black like coffee from Hawaii is so freaking good.
Maddie?
What about you, Maddie? What's your go-to the best?
Okay, so I have a few go-tos, so the main one, if I have never been to the place before, is just an iced vanilla latte. Super vanilla. Pretty, I think for me, it's just something that's really hard to mess up. So it's like,
yeah,
it should be safe. If I'm feeling really bougie, I'll go to Starbucks. My recent addiction came from TikTok. It is a venti iced white mocha with the sweet cream cold foam and caramel drizzle. And it is so sweet and so sugary and like lasts for a few hours and it's amazing. And then actually my favorite cup of coffee in Montana is back in my college town, and I would always get a white chocolate Americano, which was my favorite, especially when I worked at the coffee shop there in Bozeman. Just super simple and good bang for your buck, honestly. Americanos are not that expensive.
So. I love Americanos, yeah. Too.
I didn't know that you could do flavor in an Americano.
Right? I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose, right. Obviously. And, like, everybody would flame me for it, which is fine. I don't really give a shit. I'm shameless. But, yeah.
No,
that was
I disagree.
A lot of people's favorite.
Because a lot of times you don't want, like, a heavy coffee with milk. Like,
yeah.
But you want the flavor. So this is just a black coffee, but with some flavory syrup in it. I think that's totally fine.
And then I would say for like black coffee, like fresh black coffee, when I was on a coffee, like, is it a coffee farm? Like,
sure.
In Hawaii, like fresh. They're taking a tour. They like offer you a cup of coffee at the end. And that was like,
what the heck?
On cloud nine.
We have to do that when we go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I have an honorable mention because this isn't coffee. Do you have Dutch Brothers there?
No, I've only been one time.
Okay, so if you go to Dutch Brothers, anyone who's around Dutch Brothers, you have to try this one time. I'm sure you could do it other places, but in Portland, the Dutch Brothers person told me the drink that they always order, and it's an iced green tea with grapefruit and honey, and ooh, that is the best drink. That
it sounds so good. It sounds like summer.
Is it a matcha green tea or just a regular?
Just regular iced green tea. Nice. And then like a couple of pumps of grapefruit and honey and mix it all up. It's so good.
See, I've never even heard of grapefruit syrup like at a coffee place before. So yeah. I'm already kind of shocked because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I've only ever got it at Dutch. But if you ever at Dutch Brothers, get the grapefruit honey green tea. It's not on their menu. You have to ask for it.
But also maybe another unpopular opinion is that I hate matcha lattes.
They suck.
I hate them so much.
They're the worst.
And maybe that's just like me being a bland like vanilla person.
No.
But like I want so badly to like them because they're so cute and they look like they would be so good. But every time I'm just kind of like, ugh.
They
okay,
suck.
Ugh. I want to add some perspective here because
okay.
I feel like if you go to normal coffee shops or anywhere that's just kind of like Starbucks or whatever, you know, I don't think they know how to make a good matcha green tea latte.
They don't.
Have good matcha tea. My old boss, when I lived in Portland, she was from India and she made me a traditional matcha tea latte. You have to get the right matcha. I feel like when you go to Starbucks or wherever, they either have matcha powder, which is not real tea, or they have cheap matcha tea.
Yeah, I can speak from the Starbucks perspective. Do not ever, ever order the matcha tea at Starbucks because it is this awful powder. And that even when so the way they do it is they steam it in with the milk. But it doesn't ever fully dissolve.
Yeah.
It doesn't get fully mixed in. So when you drink it, you're getting this really grainy drink, and it's disgusting. And it tastes terrible. It tastes like grass.
There's a good way to do matcha, for sure.
There is, but don't do it from Starbucks.
I've had some shitty experiences with, like, steaming awful things. Like, at the place I worked in Bozeman, they had a seasonal Christmas drink with eggnog. And they would water down eggnog half and half with, like, it was, I think it was actually half and half, or maybe whole milk or something like that.
We watered it down at Starbucks, too.
Well, me being the relatively new employee, we ran out of the eggnog solution, I will call it, because I hate eggnog, and eggs, of course. So I straight steamed eggnog, and it smelled like egg salad sandwich in the whole coffee shop the rest of the day. I wanted to vomit. It was awful. It smelled like burnt eggs, steamed eggs, fried eggs, sulfur all day. And I was so ashamed of myself. I'm like, what the fuck did I just do?
Yeah. Also, something that only people that have been baristas before will understand. First of all, steamy eggnog is a bitch.
Yeah, it's not good.
Second of all, because it's such a dense liquid, it is so loud on the steamer. Like, it is a banshee
it's a screech,
yeah. of a drink to make. And it's not even that good. Like, I'm not a huge fan of eggnog to begin with, but these are awful. Eggnog should not be drinking hot, right?
Drunken?
Who cares?
No English. Drunken your eggnog hot.
Don't drunk your eggnog hot, folks. It's not meant to be consumed that way. However, if you're ever curious, apparently I've heard from mildly reliable sources that making your own eggnog is both fun and easy to do and delicious when you pour a cup of brandy with it. So apparently eggnog tastes way better when you make it at home too.
I would say probably the answer is that homemade eggnog is better than going down to the grocery store and buying freaking Silk brand eggnog,
right,
or whatever it is.
But the Silk brand is even better than half eggnog, half and half
eggnog solution
from Starbucks that's hot. Yeah, eggnog solution. Yeah, not a great time.
So I'm guessing you're scarred for life from eggnog now.
I mean, Maddie was kind of scarred from eggs, period. From
Right. Devil eggs.
Okay. Andreas, what food do you hate?
Okay. Well, I don't hate. I hate strong onions. And here's why. I'm fine with red onions in a salad. I'm fine with the flavor of red onions. I'm fine with that. Although I do feel like it can be a little strong if done incorrectly. But I hate that onions haunt you for the rest of the day and you're just stuck with onions. Like, if you make the conscious decision to eat red onions, you have to deal with onions later. So I'm not a big onion guy. That's basically the end of the list, and things I'm allergic to, obviously.
Yeah, I don't count those.
I'm not a very picky person, and I love sweet onions. I love chives. I love grilled onions or sauteed onions. I just, like, fresh red onion is where I draw the line.
See, I'm also not a picky person. If it's food, I will pretty much eat it. But for a very long time, I really hated mushrooms.
Oh.
All mushrooms. And it took me a long time to kind of warm up to them. And now I kind of like them, but it has to be very specific. So, like, I hate raw mushrooms. You know how, like, on a chef's salad, people throw raw mushrooms,
oh,
just cut up?
Oh, I love those mushrooms.
It's gross.
No, I love it.
I don't want... What I hate about those particular mushrooms is that they're spongy. Mm. I don't like the sponginess of it. It's just a bad texture. But I love sautéed mushrooms. And I really... If you've ever had morel mushrooms, those things are so freaking good.
Well, Maddie, thank you so, so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's great to have
you here.
Absolutely. And I hope we have you again soon, because you're a pleasure.
I do too.
Oh, I would love to come back.
And if I'm being honest, I can't keep talking to Peter week after week. I can't do it. Save me. Help.
Anyway, thank you for watching this fine episode of Unlicensed Therapy. If you want to ask us any questions, we didn't have any this week because I totally forgot to ask. If you want to ask us any questions, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Unlicensed Show and at Unlicensed Therapy Show, respectively. Comment on any of the posts. We'll find them. We'll answer them on the show. And don't forget to follow us and kind of just enjoy the vibe. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere you can listen to us. And we hope to see you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.